Welcome to the world today. My name is Frank Weltner. I am the librarian for JewWatch, the largest compendium of information about Jewish organizations and news on the internet today. In addition, I am the librarian and archivist for a new website, www.americanussr.com, which is already the largest compendium of history concerning the negative aspects of the United States of America, which the CIA, FBI, the presidency, the Congress, and all other agencies of the United States want you to know nothing about. Welcome to the world today. My name is Frank Weltner, and today is January the 16th, 2011. Today is Sunday, and the war continues to rage in Afghanistan, where people are being killed in one village after another by close cooperation of America and its allies. Meanwhile, Americans themselves are at home eating chips and watching their football games. Meanwhile, the price of gasoline for Americans has risen to over $3 a gallon. And in many states, it's $3.50 a gallon, well on its way to $4 a gallon, then $5, then $6, then $7. As the price of gasoline goes up, the economy deteriorates because every dollar that's placed into the Americans' tanks, it means a dollar that cannot go to retail, or cannot go to entertainment, cannot go for housing, cannot go for education. It is simply money that is placed inside of a banker's pockets at Goldman Sachs or some other place where the futures of petroleum are gambled upon, making the price rise exponentially. Without this type of speculation, the price of gas wouldn't be rising at all. It's the banks that are doing it, with extra phony paper money that they get from the Federal Reserve. And the American people know this, and they're mad as hell about it. If you're like me and you begin to read the financial reports, you begin to find that Goldman Sachs and many of their brother and sister companies are speculating in petroleum. And whatever you buy removes that from the market. If you were to buy more toasters than you needed, other people looking for toasters would not be able to get their toaster. So in order to get it, they'd have to pay more money in order to coax you or someone else to give up one of their extra toasters. And that's how speculation works. It works only to increase the price of everything in the country. And it's wrong. I don't for the life of me understand why lawyers, who love to sue people anyway, don't sue these companies for the damage they've done to the 310 million people in the country who aren't owners of these banks. The owners are just a few percentage of the people in this country, and the ones that benefit are even fewer than that. But some of them make $1 million a week, some make $1 million a day, some make $1 million a year. Whatever they make, it comes from our pockets. It comes from speculations that amount to pennies on the dollar for gasoline that now costs $100 a barrel, and for which Goldman Sachs and the other banks might have paid only a few cents, since many of them are able to get money for free from the federal government because they're part of that great Rothschild family that is able to do that. They get money for free, but you and I have to pay for it. So what do they care what they speculate with it? The money is worthless as far as they're concerned. If they lose it, they'll just go back and get some more. If they lose too much, then they'll get Bernanke to tell the president and the Congress that if you don't pay these banks the money they lost and give it back to them, they will certainly make sure there's a depression in this country. Which, of course, they've already done, despite the trillions we've paid them. I can't say that I've ever been a friend of bankers, or of banking. I've always been a kind of a lowly person that likes to camp out and not spend much money. people that spend their time speculating with money and making money out of nothing never appealed to me. Now they seem like a bunch of jerks. People that had nothing really important to do with their lives. They didn't work with bricks and mortar building houses. They didn't work as a farmer raising cattle and providing milk for people to drink. They didn't do much of anything. They simply reached into the Federal Reserve's money pit, took money out, counterfeited it, and rented it out to us. And we did something with it. So what use was it to have them there? That's like having a minister to talk to God for you. You don't need a minister to talk to God, you just talk to God. So you don't need a bank to talk to the Federal Reserve either and check out money for you and then charge you interest for it. You ought to be able to go to the Federal Reserve just like the bank and say, I'm going to buy a $100,000 house. Here's the house, here's the note, give me $100,000 for it so I can pay the owner of it. At which point they'd give you the $100,000, you'd pay the owner. And then if you ever sold a house, guess what? The Federal Reserve would take the money, loan it to somebody, and give them the house. You wouldn't own it, of course, because you didn't pay any money for it. But why would you want to own it? Why would you want to pay money for it? Wouldn't it be better just to live in it and enjoy it and then give it to the next person and get another loan for the one you want next without having to pay it back? Why not? Why not if a bank can do it, why can't you, as a human being, do it? I'd like to see people like you and myself forming clubs, and with those clubs, forming a bank. I think it costs about $6 million to buy into the Federal Reserve. If we had a bank, and we were just the regular people, once we became a Federal Reserve bank, or a member of a Federal Reserve bank, we ought to be able to do the same thing the banks do, and that is to borrow money for free. That would mean that we could take the deeds of our homes and put them in the bank, tell the Federal Reserve, we got all these deeds. These deeds are worth about $12 million total for these seven or eight people that have them here. The Federal Reserve would give us that money. We would give that to the banks that have the loans on it now, and they're charging 5, 6, 7% on it. We could take ours and not charge anything because we got our money for free. And then we could enroll another 10 or 12 people and allow them to send us their titles. We would then take those titles to the Federal Reserve, get loans covering the price of their houses, and then pay off the bank that that they owe the money to and then not charge them any interest either. We could do this with everybody in the country. With one bank, theoretically, we could make sure that no one ever has to pay interest again. Because that one bank would be such that the people who work in it wouldn't make much money. They would be working for the good of the people. There's no reason why we couldn't wean the entire American public from these greedy, awful bankers. Why not? Why not? They do it. And if it's lawful to do it, then if we had a bank, we could do it for ourselves. And we would never have to pay interest on a loan again. And we'd never have to pay our loan back again as long as we kept our house. And then once we sold the house, guess what? The loan would be paid because the house is worth what was borrowed on it. And as soon as it's sold to someone else, well, that money would go into the bank. Or the federal government would loan the bank that much money for that house so it could be sold to somebody else. Again, at no interest. We can do this. But we never do because we're a bunch of wussies. And the bankers are smart. They've never told us that we could do this. But if you sit around and think about it, if they could make money out of nothing, then if we became bankers, we could make money out of nothing also. And if we all got together, we could pay off our loans with money that has no interest rates. Because the banks have no interest rates on their money either. They don't pay interest. Take a look when you drive past the bank tomorrow. It'll say that if you put money in the bank, you might get 0.5% interest, or maybe 0.1%. These people don't pay any interest. So why should you pay them any interest for money they don't pay any interest on? I have no reason to make these people millionaires. And now for some joyous news from the war in Afghanistan. We read in a CNN story that 9 civilians were killed in a road mine explosion in Afghanistan's Baghlan province. It's believed that 6 women and a child were among the dead. A Toyota Corolla hit the mine while driving from the Poldi Komri district to the Dand Shabudin village. Elsewhere, 6 Afghan civilians were killed in another road mine explosion in Helmand province. The Taliban is believed to be behind the blast. Well, how in the world do you think they would know that the Taliban is behind the blast? Do you think they're psychic? Do you think they saw the Taliban put the mine in the road? In which case, if they didn't mark it so people wouldn't hit it, they became part of the murderous scheme to kill these people? A spokesman for the Interior Ministry in Afghanistan, which is an American colonial puppet, said that 72 terrorist and destructive attacks occurred last week, mostly in the provinces of Kunar, Nangarhar, and Helmand. In total, 14 policemen and 26 civilians were killed, and 37 policemen and 44 civilians were injured in the entire country. It's very, very interesting that everywhere the United States goes, death becomes a parade up and down the streets. As people drive about their lives, going shopping, whatever, they're killed one by one by one. They're just waiting for that mine to come up in the road and snatch them away along with their wives and their children. They must be extremely happy that the United States is such a profound military conqueror, that it's improved Afghanistan to the point where over 100 people are killed just summarily every week. So that most of the people there now know someone who's been killed recently, because they have huge families, so if one person is killed, the families are so close that there may be 400 people involved with that one person. And this must make these people just love America. You can just imagine how you'd feel about America if you were an Afghani, and one of your brother-in-laws was killed, and you also had a half-sister who was killed in another province, and on and on and on throughout the country, and that there's a murder here and a murder there by these roadside bombs, not to mention homes being destroyed by the Americans themselves, who summarily bomb houses from their drones where there's no pilot. There's someone sitting in America bombing homes that have families in them, women, children. And then people who say, well, oh, that was the home of a terrorist. But no one ever came to the home to see if there was a terrorist. They just say that. There's nothing but one bombing after another in this war. Oh, it's really despicable. This war has been so much fun for the Afghanis, but in many ways it's been more fun for Americans, provided that the Americans have enjoyed watching their sons and daughters being killed and dismembered along the roads and inside the little fortresses where they go in the evening and they come out during the day to shoot the native people of Afghanistan. 7 Americans, for instance, were among 10 NATO dead in Afghanistan today. 10 NATO soldiers killed in a string of attacks in Afghanistan. This is the deadliest day for the alliance this year, and one of the worst of the conflict. Of course, this year is only 16 days old. So what does it mean? 5 soldiers from the United States were killed by an improvised explosive device, an IED, in eastern Afghanistan, while another American died in a separate IED attack, and a 7th from small arms fire in the south. France said one of its troops was killed and 3 others wounded in a rocket attack by people they call Taliban militants in eastern Afghanistan. But they were unable to confirm whether the French casualty was among the 10 announced by NATO. Well, how were they able to then to ascertain that the attack was by Taliban militants? Did someone go down and interview the militants after the deaths? I doubt that. It's something that the French made up, which is what these nations do. When someone's attacked, it's not going to be by some little wussy. It's got to be by some Taliban or someone with a big long name in a foreign land. So they just make it up and give it to the reporters so that when people read it, it looks like they know what they're doing, when as a matter of fact, they don't. Separately, two foreign contractors, one of them American, were killed Monday in a suicide attack on an Afghan police training center in the southern city of Kandahar. That was at least according to the U.S. Embassy. Three militants, they said, armed with bombs and guns, were killed in the suicide attack. But were they really militants, or were they maybe mules, stupid people who were told to carry a couple of bags of things into this police station? Or were they people that had members of their family that were being held hostage, and then they went in with the bombs and the guns and started hurling them in order to try to save their family members? These are things that happen in a war, things that America doesn't want to talk about. No one wants to tell you the real truth about war, but I'll tell you the truth. It's a deadly deal. It's a deadly deal, and this was a war, both of these wars, Afghanistan and Iraq, they were started by American lies. The lies of weapons of mass destruction, of radioactive material called yellow mustard from Nigeria, things that didn't even exist, things that were just spun by the CIA and by treacherous people in the White House who could care less about telling the truth. If a war could be started by telling you a lie, you bet they'll make one up. They made one up for Vietnam. It was the Gulf of Tonkin. They made one up for this, too. It was called 9/11. The lie was that it was started by, that the 9/11 was caused by the Arabs, by the Islamics. But most Americans know full well it was thought up and perpetrated by the United States and its allies in order to start these wars. Same as Pearl Harbor and the rest of these little ghoulish things like the sinking of the USS Maine, which started the Spanish-American War. And it's only later that we find out that they lied about it. Well, we need to realize early that we're being lied to rather than later. Monday's toll was the highest for a single day since the deaths of 11 French soldiers on one day in August of 2008. But the number of deaths has gone up consistently in this stupid war. This war for American colonial power in the Middle East, and for the power and safety of Israel, one of the most selfish countries in the world. In the attack on the police training center, one of the attackers detonated a bomb-filled car along the wall of the facility, hoping to punch open a route for his comrades. At least that's what they say. We don't know if they're lying or telling the truth. We don't get to go to Afghanistan and find out what these people are writing and to check it out. Since government, any government person that's got their mouth open is obviously lying. Well, then these people are quoted in here. We don't know anything about this. I'm assuming that every word in here is a lie, except for the number dead, which is probably also a lie. If they said 10, it's probably 50 who are dead. It says that two were shot by police guards. There was no claim of responsibility for the bombing, but Afghanistan's Taliban is leading a nearly 9-year insurgency. Isn't that interesting? They just blamed the Taliban and said at the same time that there was no way of knowing. Said there was no claim of responsibility, but Afghanistan's Taliban has been leading a nearly 9-year insurgency. And why is it an insurgency? Because 9 years ago, the Taliban ran the country. They owned Afghanistan. It was their country. And then we invaded and kicked them out and killed tens of thousands of them. Killed and raped their women, their children. Sent them to places like Abu Ghraib where we would torture them and try to get them to confess that they had done this and that when, as a matter of fact, they hadn't done anything, many of them. They just happened to be a young man in the wrong place at the wrong time. And so now their son was to be brought in front of them and raped by an American soldier in a homosexual sex act. by soldiers who are supposed to not be homosexual at all. Well, how in the world could you rape someone's son without being homosexual? How would that happen? You see, they don't tell you these things. I guess it's supposed to be a mystery. We're not supposed to discuss it, and therefore we're not supposed to figure out that, you know, they must have gay people doing this in order to get these people to confess to things that they never even did. And once you torture people and do these things to them and destroy their families, you've pretty much made them into hollow human beings who are worthless, and therefore you probably have to kill them rather than let them go. As a matter of fact, I could mention a statistic. In 2010 in Afghanistan, every 18 hours there was a dead U.S. soldier. I believe it was many more than that. I would say there was probably 18 in 18 hours. But they claim one in every 18 hours. Because they like to lie about these things. It doesn't do them any good to tell the truth, so why should they? No one's going to hold them to it. Can you hold them to it? I don't think so. And I can't either. There were over 496 casualties in 2010. Oh yeah, there were. But you know what? It was a lot more than that. A lot more than that. These people are, as I say, they're government people, and if their lips are moving, we already know they're lying. They lied about the weapons of mass destruction to get us over there. And again, they lied about the yellow mustard. They lied about Pearl Harbor. They lied about 9/11. They lie about everything. But we're supposed to be nice, compliant citizens and trust our lying government, which is a kind of an anonymous coward that goes around the world killing and raping people. I found the most hilarious thing to be the idea that we were saving women in Baghdad from being raped by Saddam's sons, who probably never raped anybody. There were no news stories in Afghanistan about them raping anybody. And the man that used to tell stories to our government was this man named Shalabi, who was a big liar, big fat liar, who told him this and told him that about weapons of mass destruction. And everything he told the Bush administration was a lie. So, obviously, if that was a lie, he was probably telling a lie about the sons of Saddam Hussein as well. So how are we going to save these women from being raped in Iraq? Well, by sending the American army over there, which is a known rapist of women. Well, look at the number of rapes that have taken place in Japan at Okinawa. The people want the Americans out there because there are so many rapes that have taken place on that island by a bunch of sex addict Americans in the armed forces. And you know as well as I do that Americans rape everywhere they go if they're young men and they're in an army. A lot of them are arrested for rape and sent to prison for a long time. So we saved the women of Baghdad from rape by sending our own military rapists there, which is a sheer concoction, guaranteed to make sure that people get raped. All last week I was listening to experts on various radio shows and on television talking about how the economy had tanked, but the tanking wasn't over. It was just the beginning. And that those of you who are smart, even though your house is worthless, you should be selling your house or renting it and getting out of town. Well, I've always told you should do that too. And you should do it not so much because the economy is tanking, but in this case, the fact that it is tanking might mean that this might be a good time to get out. These experts, like Gerald Celente, who appears on what seems to be 50 to 100 talk shows every month, he's the president of Trends Research, and he's the one who has predicted the depression that we're in years before anyone else did, and told us exactly how it was going to come down. So he seems to have a pretty good track record. And he says that, you know, you should get out of town way out, far enough that people can't walk there from the city, or they can't get there with a full tank of gas. If they can't get to it with a full tank of gas, they won't get there, because if when they leave the city, everyone will be leaving the city. Electricity might be down. They might be able to go one tank's worth of gas, which would be 200 or 300 miles. And after that, they can't go any further because there won't be any gas for them to put in their car to go further out. So if you get a full tank's worth of gas away, you'll be in a point where people from the city won't be able to come and take your stuff. Not that you'll have a whole lot of stuff, because Americans really don't own a lot. You have a TV, and you think that you're wealthy because, oh, look, I have a TV and I'm able to get satellite TV. Well, let me tell you something. The people in Mongolia, I don't know if you've watched the news lately or Nova, but the people in Mongolia have televisions. They live in these tents that are round, made out of skins, and they carry these tents everywhere they go, and they sit in their tents now, and they have solar panels and wind generators and batteries, and they watch TV all day long inside their tent while they wait for their lambs to screw each other to produce milk so they can make themselves some yogurt. You think that you're the only person with a TV? Everybody's got a TV. Everybody. I wouldn't be surprised if the monkeys at the ape show have televisions now to keep them pacified. At any rate, when you get out into the country, you take your TV with you and a little power-generating equipment and isolate yourself so that when the grid goes down, you'll still be able to get your TV. You'll be able to see those shows that otherwise, if you're on the grid and the grid doesn't work anymore, well, you'd be out of luck. But with the satellites overhead and a satellite dish pointed up that way, you might be all right. Or if you're up on a hill and you just have a regular antenna and a digital TV to pick up a digital signal, you might be able to get a couple of stations. So you could sit up there with your wife and your kids and pick acorns up off the ground and cook them. Maybe get a squirrel or a deer now and then. Maybe raise chickens, eat eggs. I mean, there's ways that you can survive if things just go to hell in a handbasket. You have to kind of look ahead for things like that, because something terrible like that might happen. Of course, if you live out there, there's no jobs that you can do to make money. So you have to make sure that your house is totally paid off, which means, you know, 1 or 2 acres and a house trailer that's all paid for. And your solar panels are all paid for. So you can sit there, you know, like a hog on steroids and enjoy yourself. And I suggest you get moving. Get on out there. Don't forget to take your computer so you can hear Uncle Frankie. You certainly want to hear me every day. I know that you do. And I can see why. I sympathize with you. I always try to give you the topics that you're interested in, and why wouldn't you want to listen to me every day? Why wouldn't you? I mean, after you watch The Tonight Show. Can you imagine the future Tonight Show after everything goes to hell in a handbasket and New York has no more electricity and people are rioting in the streets and nobody has enough food? And they can't get the food anywhere anyway because there's not any gasoline that you can buy. Can you imagine Jay Leno coming out and the only thing left of him now that he hasn't eaten anything in 50 days is his chin? And you see his chin going up and down as you hear his voice and the chin's going up and down. And then as the camera pulls away, you find out that it's not really him with the chin, but it's a kind of a electric jaw that's standing up on the stage on a little pole that's going up and down. And you thought it was Jay Leno's chin, but it really was just something magnetic that works out of some magic because of the way that New York was constructed and all that metal around there, and the Jay Leno jaw keeps going up and down. Well, that's just kind of a weird idea that entered my mind just now. I get mental visitations like this now, and then I kind of ask for them to happen out of a spirit of self-entertainment. See, I wouldn't believe that that would really happen, but I think it up, and if it's somewhat humorous, then it makes me smile. And then every once in a while, I like to share it with people. Although I know it makes you think, well, man, that Frank's a little weird, man, to come up with something like that. But, you know, everybody comes up with fantasies like this. Fantasies are metaphors for reality. Metaphors for reality. And Jay Leno's chin, after all, is world famous, so why not concoct a little surrealistic fantasy about it, just to prove that we all have a little sense of humor. But at any rate, what would you do if the economy suddenly tanks and there's no money at the there's no food at the supermarket? All the lights are out in the city. You can't pump gas to get in your car, so you're already stuck in the city. And you can't get out because there's no gasoline. If you start driving out, you get out so far you run out of gasoline, and then you find out that there's 20,000 people at the first house that you see there because they all ran out of gasoline at that one house. And since they only had a couple of bologna sandwiches, those are already gone. And now you face the prospect of total starvation. You think, why didn't I stay in my warm home? Well, you know that the reason you didn't was that you couldn't heat it anymore because there wasn't any electricity to keep the furnace going. So you see, once these things start to happen, you know, well, let's say we had a little war going on here, and somebody gets a hold of some cobalt 40 or cobalt 60 and blows it off in the air, and all of a sudden people are dying, and there's not enough scientists left to keep the electricity going. Or keep the infrastructure going. And then somebody drops a nuke here and there, and all of a sudden the electric storm from the nuke stops most cars from the West Coast all the way to St. Louis from starting because their little transistors are suddenly fried because of the electromagnetic pulse. And so all this idea about how your nation has been protected by the military complex and all the money you've been spending for this for so many years is just nothing but balderdash. Because even a little crap country like Korea could destroy your nation in no time. Especially yours, since you have so many machines that work on electromagnetism, including your TV set. So that if they set something off on the East Coast way up in the air, way up in the atmosphere, it would go all the way across the country and destroy everything all the way as it goes, this little electromagnetic pulse. Then you'd be stuck in this world without electricity, without TV, without Frank Welner's radio show, without the internet. Your computer would be frozen. Everything would be frozen. Your car would be frozen. I doubt if maybe your electric stove might work, but since you wouldn't have any electricity, because the generators that have electromagnetic things in them wouldn't work either. You wouldn't have any electricity, so you wouldn't be able to heat anything. So then you're down to trapping rabbits and eating squirrels like everybody else, and I just don't think there's enough squirrels. There might be some dogs and cats for you to eat, but in a really desperate situation, I think you'd probably wish that you'd saved a couple of cans of soup. But since you didn't, I guess you're just going to have to rough it and try to find worms and bugs and things like that that you can eat. Like they did in Stalingrad when they were surrounded by the German armies and everybody was eating one piece of cabbage a day. They were down to 325 calories a day. That was about it, which was starvation. They were all starving. But at least Americans are kind of fat, so some of us will last quite a while, maybe at least 3, 4, or 5 months. And maybe by then, enough of us will have died out that some of us might be able to live. I hate to bring these things up. I really do. But you know, a country that's at war all the time with other people has to think about what might happen to them if there was suddenly a depression or a war here. And suddenly we became as desperate as the countries that we've invaded. I mean, there's nothing that says these things can't happen to us. They happen to other people. Why would they happen to us? I think they would. In fact, I think it's coming. And if it's not from a war, it'll be from the caldera in Wyoming blowing up and killing everybody on the continent. So, to tell you the truth, if you want to look at it that way, you really don't even have a chance. You notice how the newspapers are always talking about this Congresswoman, Gabby, whatever her name is, from Tucson. It doesn't really matter. They're always talking about her like there's something really tragic here, and I guess there is on a human level. But she used to work in Washington, D.C. as a congresswoman. And I have to ask myself, well, where's the human level? She was a congresswoman in D.C. and she's still a human? I mean, I thought it was the Congress that voted all this money for the military-industrial complex and for the Army, the Navy, the Air Force, and the State Department, and the CIA, and all these people who do these evil things like start wars based on lies. I mean, I'm sure she had to support these military efforts because John McCain did. And he's in the same state she's in. And I'm sure that if she didn't support these militaristic efforts that has resulted in the deaths of millions of people in the Middle East, if she didn't have blood dripping from her hands from giving money to these operations that basically are used to kill millions of people in the Middle East at the gun butts of the American soldiers who are there, that she would be not unelected very, very rapidly. And I know she'd been there for several terms. So to say that this is a human story when she's a representative in an institution that has all of its hands covered in blood that drip through the corridors of the Capitol building and down the stairs. I mean, this is a very bloody country. I mean, we have the biggest building we have isn't the Capitol building, but you go about 2 or 3 miles away and there's the Pentagon, the five-sided office building of the Army, Navy, Air Force, and Coast Guard. And not far from there is Langley, which is where the CIA sits around and tries to figure out how to assassinate people, how to promulgate lies, how to make up stories like yellow mustard uranium in Nigeria, and weapons of mass destruction, and does whatever the president wants, because after all, they work for the president, and if they don't do what he wants, he's going to fire them and get somebody who will. So what kind of truth are you going to get out of people like that who will work for anybody? You won't get anything out of them except mischief and lies. Total lies. Lies like the lie about the Gulf of Tonkin and the USS Maine sinking. These were all lies. Well, we have to keep mentioning that our governments run on lies, otherwise we'll forget. We have a terrible habit of forgetting all of these lies that are told to us. We have to repeat them day and night because we see all these people on television from the government saying things that are untruthful. Every time they step before a microphone, we know that they're lying because they're not going to tell the truth. If they told the truth about what's happening in the economy, they'd lose even more of their popularity, and they're down to under 20% now. So they don't have much further to go to be, below the taps on the bottoms of their shoes. They're not going to tell the truth about how the wars are going in the Middle East, because they're not going well at all. So if they told the truth about it, then people would say, well, why don't you bring the troops home? And they don't want that. Because for some reason, if they bring the troops home, something terrible, absolutely terrible, is going to happen to America. Well, at least they must think that. Don't you think they think that something terrible will happen if they bring the troops home? It's been said by traitors like Strauss, who came from Hungary. He was a communist, and he taught a lot of our presidents and our senators and congressmen at big universities like Harvard and Yale and Princeton. And Strauss had this thing called Straussianism, where he said that the only way that a president could be powerful and stay in office is to have a war going. He has to have a crisis. I mean, if your presidency doesn't look good, then you have to plan something like 9/11. You have to plan an attack on the largest buildings in New York, and then everyone will shut up and line up behind you, and you can have them eating out of your hand and doing anything that you want them to do. Now, this happened with the Gulf of Tonkin. We got the Vietnam War going, and they wouldn't stop the war because, why would you stop a crisis? These people are crisis vultures. They find a crisis, and they feed from it, and they feed on it. They don't want to give up their crisis because they're vultures that hover around these things. And it allows them to step before a microphone and to act important. And I would think the same thing is true of the depression that we're having. Why would they want to end this depression? People are starting to get concerned about it. They're starting to lose money. The country, parts of it, are starting to almost shut down. States like California are out of money and they're going bankrupt. So is Illinois and New York. And this, it makes for good press conferences for the president, who says, well, we're going to give so much money to California, so much to Illinois, so much to New York. We're not going to let these people down, and it makes them look important. And if they got rid of the depression and if things started getting better, well, they wouldn't be able to have these nice press conferences where they get up and lie about what they're going to do, and as a matter of fact, they're not going to do anything. I mean, they spent trillions of dollars giving it away to these bankers who run the economy to begin with, these George Soros types in New York. And they didn't do anything to help us. They just put the money in their own pockets. In fact, some of them didn't even get it. A lot of them got it over in Europe. The Rothschild banks over there got this money. Your American money, you're supposed to pay. You're supposed to pay for losses of bankers all over the world. You didn't lose any money. They lost the money. They're the ones that should pay for it, but they've got you paying for it. And they're going to lie to you and say that if you don't pay for it, the economy is going to be ruined forever. Well, it's already ruined forever. It was ruined forever the moment they decided to make the Federal Reserve System and make fake phony money out of paper. That was in 1913, and today, which is 95 years later, guess what? The dollar is worth approximately 1 or 2% of what it was back then. Maybe 5% at the most. It's interesting that 100 years after 1913 will be 2013. I just thought of this. It'll be 2013, and the last year on the Mayan calendar is 2012. So does this mean that after 100 years of the Federal Reserve, the world as we know it will end? Is that it? Is that a part of the knowledge of the Maya? I mean, they evidently knew all sorts of things about astrology and all of this. And business tends to follow astrology, according to some people who follow these things. Could it be that this 2012 and 2013, 2012 would be like the December in 2012, December 21st, 2012. So it'll almost be 100 years since the beginning of the Federal Reserve. And then we have the end of the world. Well, it makes sense to me. I mean, we have had these people stealing from us in perpetuity eternally for 100 years. You'd think that our world would end eventually after they've taken all that money from us and reduced our worth of our dollar from $1 down to about 1 or 2 cents. And it's 2012. 2012, next year, it'll be like, you know, still be 1%. But these dollars aren't going to increase in value. I mean, they keep printing too many of them. So we've reached the end of our economic world, I suppose. along with the death of the world to the Mayan calendar, whatever people say is going to happen. Nobody really knows what's going to happen. Maybe it just starts over again. I think it starts over again every 26,000 years. It's called the myth of the phoenix. The phoenix was a bird, mythological bird, pretend bird, that every 26,000 years it would burn itself up, and in the ashes would come a new phoenix, a little baby phoenix that would live for 26,000 years and then burn itself up. Well, the burning time is almost here. And the Mayan calendar says 2012 is the end of the 26,000-year cycle, in which the houses of the planets reverse themselves every 26,000 years, because the Milky Way itself is kind of spinning, and it turns that revolution once every 26,000 years, and then the zodiac starts going in the opposite manner. And this is the big time right now. It's all happening. And the nice thing is that you and I were here to witness it together. Well, I haven't moved out of town yet. Have you moved out of town? Have you gotten yourself a trailer and a couple of acres? I suggest that you do. I might try to do that myself. I'm getting pretty old, though. I don't know if I could live out there and actually farm for a living. I might just have to stay here and die when the supermarkets have no more food. I could use a rifle and take food from other people, maybe. Or I could lure rats into my house through the sewers and make soup out of them. Well, I seem to have been a little giddy and playful today. I'm not really sure why. I guess it was all the pressure of these wars and the killings of millions of people in the Middle East that I talk about almost every day, and it eventually gets to me. It's like, what's going on in my world? How could my world be this evil that it's constantly filled with deaths, and with dismembered soldiers, and with depressions that nobody wants, but nobody can stop it? I mean, what's the deal here? I mean, what's happening? Why are we subjected to this sort of thing? You remember I was talking the other day about the worm that was linked to the Iran atom woes that was tested by Israel and America? I've been thinking about that. That was a terrible story, because to think that our country invaded the space of Iran and put that virus in their computer. See, that was pretty stupid, because what I was thinking is that the United States has more computers than anybody else. And a lot of our industries and businesses are run on computers. So if Iran got really teed about this, okay, what would stop them from getting some of their best scientists to develop worms and put them into the United States computers and bring our industry down to a halt, destroying trillions of dollars in assets, maybe even making it so that we can't get our computers up and running again because they won't even start? I mean, maybe we made them so angry that they might do that. You know what I mean? I just think that's a stupid thing to do. It's almost as stupid as Israel. It's a story today that they're considering a major settlement project in East Jerusalem, which is an area that is normally associated with the Islamic religion. But the Israelis are looking for a new construction project that could harm international efforts to revive Middle East peace talks, that would provide 1,400 new apartments in the Jewish neighborhood of Gilo in disputed East Jerusalem, which is disputed because the Arabs own it. But the United States and the Palestinians consider this Gilo an illegal settlement by the Israelis. because it was built on territory Israel captured from Jordan during the Six-Day War in 1967. Well, I bet Jordan wishes it hadn't gone along with that war. Jerusalem Councilman Elisha Peleg supports the plan, which could be approved next week. He says Jerusalem is the capital of the state of Israel and the city would not be divided. The Jews have the right to build in all parts of Jerusalem, including in Arab areas like East Jerusalem, said Peleg. It's a part of the city. Well, I mean, the Palestinians could say that. The Palestinians, both Christian and Islamic, have a right to build in all parts of Jerusalem, including West Jerusalem, and also in Tel Aviv and anywhere else that we want to build, and to remove the Israelis and to put settlers there who will hassle the Israelis until they get up and leave these cities. Well, they could do the same thing, couldn't they? Yeah, it's a terrible thing going on there. The Israelis are just a hideous people. And in fact, I would have to compare them to Americans, who are also hideous. The Americans who believe in war and spend far more of their money on war than the Chinese do, or the Russians, or anyone else in the world. The Americans are just a horrible people. We're warmongers, is what we are. We used to claim that Japan was run by warlords. Well, welcome to Japan. Welcome to Washington, D.C., which is Japan right now. Warlord City. Warlord City. And now, Mitt Romney, who looks like he's trying to run for presidency, former governor of Massachusetts, has met with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, a really dastardly person. And anyone who meets with him, I don't think should ever be president of the United States, because that's a terrible human being, Benjamin Netanyahu. Look at what all he's done in Israel. He's bombed the Palestinians with burning bombs, like phosphorus bombs that burn into your skin and will never stop burning as long as you live. Aides of Netanyahu say plans their sessions with all the potential Republican presidential hopefuls. Netanyahu plans these sessions with all of them. And of course, it's because he's a little snake. Netanyahu is a little Israeli snake. He wants to meet all the presidential candidates so that he can threaten them and tell them that if they don't do exactly what he wants, he'll make sure they don't win. But if he plays along with Israel and will give Israel lots of money for bombs to kill Islamics with and Christians, then he might help them out a little bit. You know what I mean? Maybe that will help. Maybe that will help these presidential candidates to understand who really controls America, which is basically an Israeli colony. Because the Israelis own the banks in America, and if you don't do what the Israelis want, they'll collapse your economy even more and make you really wish that you'd done everything they wanted. And they'll tell on their news what you did, but only in a way that'll make you look even worse than you are. Absolutely. My mind is working exceptionally well today. I think perhaps I should drink several glasses of water and get a fresh dose of fluoride so I can, well, perhaps dumb myself down a little bit. I think that would be a good thing. Well, let's pick some berries from the AmericanUSSR.com tree. Let's talk about America's brutal torture and murder of Iraqi civilians. That was pretty cute, wasn't it, what we did there at Abu Ghraib? But that wasn't the end of it. fact, there's several reports up here about other things that America's done on, in that regard. And we need to be absolutely certain that we know these things. Look at Guantanamo Bay right now. Those people are still there. They've been there for, 10 years now? Never been before a judge. And if they go before a judge will release them because there's no evidence on any of them except evidence that was obtained through torture, which is inadmissible. Now, these statements that our government makes about war, they're inadmissible because the United States is a government that's a known liar. So who would listen to anything the United States said in terms of starting a war anyway? We always lie when we start a war. We don't even care about killing our own citizens to start one. If it means killing 3,000 people in New York on 9/11, well, we'll do that too. We don't care. Then we've had this international rendition and torture where we send people to Poland and to Islamic countries and places where people will torture them for us since we can't do it here anymore. It's terrible what America does. How can you be proud to be an American? Why do you... Let me ask you something. When you go to a ball game and they play the national anthem, everybody stands up, why would you do that? Why would you disgrace yourself by standing up for the national anthem at a sports game or in a school? And why would you allow your school to play the national anthem of America, which is a warmongering, sleazebag, nuclear holocaust country that has even bombed two cities in Japan with atom bombs and has sprayed depleted uranium all over Afghanistan and all over Iraq in the form of bullets exploding against rocks everywhere to the point where the depleted uranium has traveled in the air all the way up into Europe, all the way up to England and London? How could you support a country like that? How could you stand, put your hand over your heart, and pledge allegiance to the flag of America, or stand there listening to the Star Spangled Banner while the American treacherous battle flag is flying in the air that celebrates your armies and navies that have killed so many people over the years, and for no reason in most cases? The World War II leadership was tortured and murdered by America, the German leadership. They were just tortured. They were simply tortured by America. You know, we're supposed to be such a kind and generous country. Come to America. We're so kind and generous. Here, let me torture your national leaders after World War II. It's just ridiculous. The Germans treated our soldiers very, very well in their camps. And when we got these people in our camps, we murdered millions of them. We wouldn't even feed or house them or give them water. We wouldn't allow their parents and relatives to bring them food. We killed out their army. More of their army, the German army, died in prison camps with no housing, no place to get away from the weather, in the coldest spring that Europe has had in 100 years. We allowed them to just, these kids, to die there, these German soldiers who were surrendered. They were our responsibility, and we murdered them. Out in the cold, murdered them, refused to feed them, fed them less than was fed at Auschwitz or any other camp. Just, you know, horrendous war crimes and sins committed by the American government. Then you have America's early indigenous atrocities when we came here and began murdering off the enemies, the Indians who lived here, killing them, sending disease to them, etc., 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 however we did it. It was a very, very terrible thing. Well, I'm out of time. So I'll see you tomorrow at the World Today. Have a nice evening.